Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
I'm going to begin this morning with a video illustration. This is a scene from the movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and it's the movie that starred Jim Carrey, but it will kind of set the stage for the theme that I'm going to be talking about this morning. So let's watch this illustration.
Okay, well,
I just lied to you a moment ago. We're not going to begin with this video illustration. Maybe there's a reason for that. This is the season, the illustration, the video was showing the Grinch stealing all the presents from little Cindy Sue's house and trying to take the Christmas tree as well. So that was the illustration. And this is the season of the year when the world is thinking about giving and receiving. But it's also a season of taking, as you hear of thieves stealing packages from the front of people's homes. I've seen that on the news. In fact, that activity was occurring a couple of years ago when we were in Kansas City. People were stealing packages off of people's front porches in our neighborhood in Gladstone. And if you've lived long enough, you've probably had something of yours stolen by someone. Anybody had anything stolen in your... A lot of us have experienced that. The church in Kansas City where I used to serve was located near a major thoroughfare. And one Sunday during worship, somebody broke into somebody's car, broke their window, and got some things out of the front seat of their car. And there were other instances of stealing copper from air conditioning units occurred at one point. And then another time when somebody pulled up into the parking lot and there was a lot of wood stacked outside on our church property that was to be used for an Eagle Scout project of building a deck near the kitchen of the church. Somebody pulled up in a trailer and started loading all this wood on their trailer. Fortunately, the minister was living in the house on the property, saw it going on and called the police and was able to thwart that. But how does it make you feel when someone takes something of yours that doesn't belong to them? I mean, I don't know about you, but I get a little angry when that happens. You know, if they were to come up and ask me for it, I'd probably give it to them. But just to take it and it doesn't belong to them, it gets to me. I've had some things stolen. I've had a couple of bicycles stolen in my lifetime, among other things. I had a bike stolen years ago at OSU when I was a student there. I had a bike stolen in Lancaster when we lived there. In this world, there are givers and there are takers. And the contrast between the two is quite significant. And when you look closely at this birth story of Jesus, you also see givers and you see takers. According to Scripture, God announced the birth of Jesus in two different ways. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, it's written, "Wise men from the east saw his star when it rose." And these wise men, or some refer to it as magi, were not from Israel. They were from the east, probably an area known as Babylon. And according to commentators, great monarchs in those days were believed to be announced or foreshadowed by the appearance of a star or comet. And so obviously, for some reason unknown to us, God gave these wise men a sign by the way of a star. And they knew that a king of the Jews was going to be born, according to verse 2. Their response was to seek him and worship him and give him gifts. Luke's version of the birth of Christ in Luke 2 involves an angel appearing to some shepherds who were in Israel and were out in the fields tending their flocks at night. And it indicates in verse 9 that an angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and it frightened them. And the angel then announced to them the birth of Christ. And I know you've heard these verses many, many times before, but it's just so poetic and beautiful. I'm going to read it to you again. "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And Kim recently showed me a video of a Jewish rabbi explaining that these shepherds were shepherding the very sheep that were intended to be used as sacrifices at the temple. In other words, these were the unblemished sheep that they were shepherding that would be used to offer as a sacrifice. Interesting that God appeared to them to announce the birth of the unblemished Lamb of God who would also become a sacrifice. In Luke 2 verse 15, it indicates that when the shepherds heard this, they said, "Let's go over and see this." And so they sought Jesus. And when they found him, they told everyone, including Mary and Joseph, what the angels had communicated to them. The shepherds knew where the birth had taken place because it was told to them in Luke 2, verse 11. He would be born in the city of David, which was Bethlehem. It was also prophesied in Psalms and in Micah chapter 5. And the Magi didn't know where Jesus was born, so they went to Jerusalem to find out, according to Matthew 2:2. And this was how King Herod ended up finding out about the birth. And when Herod, the king of Palestine, who was in Jerusalem, heard about the birth of Jesus, he also sought to know where Jesus had been born. But not because he wanted to worship him, even though that's what he said. He actually wanted to destroy him, according to Matthew 2, verse 13. So the announcement of Christ's birth was told to the whole world, in a sense. It was told to the people outside of Israel. It was told to the people in Israel. And the response to the announcement is interesting. The Magi, who were not Jewish, wanted to worship him and honor him with gifts that were extremely valuable in that culture at that time. Gold, which is extremely valuable in our culture still. Frankincense, which was a prized spice used in offerings presented in the temple. Myrrh, which was also a prized perfume used for incense. So these magi were givers to Christ. The Jewish shepherds wanted to see this thing that happened. And they went and found him, praised and glorified God for all they had heard and seen, according to Luke 2:20. And so the shepherds too became givers. You know, they gave glory and they gave praise to God for the birth of his son, of this Savior of the world. Herod, the king, also wanted to find Jesus, but for a whole different reason. You know, he didn't want to worship him or give him any gifts, even though he said he did. He wanted to find him so that he could take his life. Herod saw Jesus as a threat to his power and authority. And Herod, he wasn't really even a legitimate king anyway at that point. He was Jewish, but he was not descended from the line of David's family. So he really actually was an illegitimate king to begin with. So we see in this birth narrative people who want to find Jesus so they can give to him, and people who want to find Jesus so they can take from him. It's a kind of an illustration, I think, of humanity's response to the Savior. When you look at our world today, I mean, you see the same thing. I mean, you see people who want to find Jesus in order to worship him and give to him. And when a person comes to understand the gift of Jesus that God has given to them, most people want to give back. You know, they want to give their life to him. They want to serve him. They want to give up their means to other people in the name of Jesus. You know, they give their time and talents in the name of Jesus. I mean, because it was Jesus who said, you know, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. But then there are the takers. Those who want to take Jesus out of our culture. They want to destroy anything that's related to God and Christ. I mean, it's kind of similar to Herod. You know, they see Christ as a threat to their way of life and their world, so they want him taken away. Jesus once told the Pharisees in John 8:37, you want to kill me because you don't like what I'm saying. You don't like the truth, really. And that's the way it is with many in our world. Even Christians sometimes can become takers rather than givers. Our prayers are filled with our list of wants. You know, Jesus told a crowd of people once in John 6:26, you're seeking me because I gave you bread. You really need to seek the food that leads to eternal life, he told them. In Matthew 6, Jesus says to us, seek the kingdom first. You know, focus on heavenly treasures, not on earthly ones. In other words, seek me. Seek to know my ways. Become a giver like I am. How many of you went shopping on Black Friday? I didn't. I'm just showing you how to raise your hand. How many of you started before Black Friday? I can raise my hand to that. On Black Friday last year, there were news reports of people fighting over stuff, fighting over bargains, waiting outside the stores for the doors to open, you know, rushing in to get their stuff, knocking people over, and then pushing and shoving each other to get what they want. This year, there was a new trend. Did you hear about it? Paying people to stand in line for you so that you wouldn't have to get there quite as early. That's true. I read that in the paper. Isn't it ironic that God gave us the greatest gift of all, the most valuable gift ever given, ever could be given? And most of the time, you have to persuade and plead with people to accept it. No one stands in line. There's no one standing in line this morning to get into church. Now, there have been a few times when the doors were not unlocked, but that was the only time. The Magi and the shepherds were the persons who responded appropriately to God's gift of Jesus. They worshiped him. They gave him valuable gifts. They gave glory and praise to God for the gift God was giving to the world. And because God has given you so much, it just should stir up in us a desire to give back. You should be a giver. All of us should be givers, not takers. Because it's an expression of your faith. Giving is an expression of your faith, your gratitude, a means of honoring your Savior and your King. I'm happy to be a recipient of God's gift and gifts. You know, and I pray that I never become a taker. I have been in the past. I don't want to be a taker. Takers like Herod were only concerned about themselves. They only cared about their own needs and wants. You know, we live in a time where it seems as though the takers outnumber the givers anymore. You know, people are stealing other people's identities. You know, there's all kinds of fraud being perpetrated against other people. The Westerville police, you know, they tell you now, if you have a car that sits outside during the night, you better make sure it's locked and you better make sure your valuables are out of it because people are breaking into cars. There's no shortage of those people who want to take from you out there. To me, what makes this world bearable are the givers. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves a cheerful giver. Someone who enjoys giving because that's how God is. Dr. James McCord was at one time president emeritus of the Princeton University Theological School, once told the story of a man who commented that he was never coming back to a particular church because all they ever talked about at that church was give, give, give. And Dr. McCord concluded, you know, I can't think of a better definition of Christianity than that. Give, give, give. He writes, I'm convinced that unless you learn to give, you can never be fully human. He writes, let me ask you this. If there was a dog walking down the street, healthy coat, obviously in good shape, and he had a bone in his mouth, and that dog passed a flea-bitten mutt that was near starvation, do you think that healthy dog would stop and drop his bone in front of that sick dog? I said no. He would clench his bone that much tighter in his teeth as he passed by. That's the nature of animals. Only man knows how to be a giver. God is a giver. He gave us life itself. And his ultimate gift was that of his Son. What more cherished, more precious, more intimate gift could one give than that of his only child? If we want to achieve God-likeness, we must be givers too. God does not ask us to renounce our possessions. He doesn't ask us to renounce our spirit of possessiveness. He doesn't even ask us to give up our necessities. But he does ask us to share out of our abundance. The deepest joy in life is not by taking all that we can get, but by sharing all that we have got. And so that's what we do at Christmas time and at other times during the year. But Christmas time is probably the most evident. We give gifts at Christmas, kind of a beautiful way of showing you care about someone. In a sense, we're doing for each other what the Magi did for Christ. When we give someone a gift, it's kind of a way of honoring them. I believe my giving to God includes, but goes beyond, the collection plate. I believe I must give my life, including my time, my talents, my devotion, my faithfulness. Everything I have. It all belongs to Him anyway. So it's good each year for the world, I think, to be reminded of the greatest gift man has and will ever receive. I encourage all of you to think about your response to Jesus. Are you a giver or are you a taker? Is it all about what you can get from Him, or is it all about what you can give to Him? You know, if it's all about Him, then that means it's all about others, because Jesus said, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. On your communication card this morning, hopefully you have a blue communication card for this. Has listed some next steps on the back, as I've shown here. Memorize 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves a cheerful giver. Read Matthew 2, read Luke 2, read the birth story again. I'm sure many of you do at this time of the year. And I ask you to accept the giver challenge. Be a giver instead of a taker. Becoming a giver begins by, of course, giving your life to God. When you do that, He immediately gives you gifts. The gift of His Spirit, the gift of His grace, the gift of His mercy through the forgiveness of your sins, spiritual gifts, and the gift of an inheritance. All those are yours. Talking about giving back, you give your life to Him, He gives you, He showers you with many gifts. And He's waiting to give them to you if you do not already have them. Will you? Are you ready to accept His marvelous gifts? We'd love to help you with that this morning. If you're not certain how to do that, we'd be happy to help you. We'd be happy to explain that to you. Just need to let one of us know. So let's now stand, and Robin is going to lead us in this song this morning. We need to respond. You can respond by coming forward, going to the back, or talk to one of us afterwards. Let's sing.